show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
The sign-out front says to ask about our Technorama extended warranty.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama with Chuck and Craig. I'm Chuck.
Oh, and I am Craig.
And this is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for roughly December 15th? That's Tuesday. You going to have this out on Tuesday?
We'll see.
Then let's say 16th.
I'm predating myself,
like
it so
says
it gets out
top.
On time.
We've got the top of the date that says December 16th, and then the line says December 15th.
Yeah, I figured I'd predate all my stuff, and then when it comes out on time, everybody would just expect it and think I did right.
If this is your first time listening to Technorama, oh boy.
Maybe you
just
should reconsider.
Figured it out. The first 60 seconds sets the tone, and we just did it.
Okay, well, we'll see you next time when you try.
Thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. Like I said, I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Oh, I'm feeling fine.
Now you've been ripped on for your chronological mathematical skills.
I didn't put this in here.
Well, I didn't touch the date.
Well, you know what? We can play
There's
it back and
two
find
other
out.
People that have access to the wave. Let's blame them.
I can play it back and see what the deal is.
Oh, and he will, too. Mm-hmm. While you're doing that, I'm going to tell you about the great folks who sponsored this episode of Technorama over at Citrix. They have a product called Go to Assist Express. It's the holidays, and you're going to be out socializing. Well, most of you will be out socializing. Some of you will be walking around with earbuds listening to Technorama, chuckling to yourselves. But for the rest of you that are out having parties and talking to family and friends, and they're going to come up to you and say, hey, you know what? My computer doesn't work right. You are the type of person we want to talk to. Come here. Come here. There's this thing called Go to Assist Express, and this is the best time of year to try it for free, because you can try it free for 30 days.
Hey, don't call people over here and yell in their ear.
I'm not yelling at them.
You yelled
just
free.
Just between you and me, Go to Assist Express. That's all you need to know. Remote screen sharing, file transfers, chat, one-touch diagnostics. It's awesome.
Their first one's always free.
30 days for free. Go to assist.com/tech podcast. And that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah. You can beam yourself up over to their desktop.
That's just about what you can do.
Yeah, it's like being there without being there.
You don't have to take your shoes off to walk on the new carpet. Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. You keep your shoes off all the time and not offend anybody.
Especially if they're Japanese or whatever.
Coming up on this episode of Technorama, we've got MST3K Love, a completely steampunked house, and a Hubble Advent calendar.
Yeah, you're running out of time to check that out.
All that coming up right after this.
For Agent Cyrus, the world's first cyborg, the mission should have been simple.
You deploy, secure the hotel, take him into custody, and extract.
But when a routine snatch and grab goes wrong...
Confirm. Hostile jumped 9 stories and is fleeing. Do not engage Hostile. I repeat, do not engage.
Cyrus finds herself at the center of a conspiracy that threatens the very foundation of her existence.
Your critical biological systems are dependent on the implants. If they die, either from the virus or your own immune system rejecting them...
My biological systems won't be able to function.
Now, with time running against her, Cyrus finds herself in the crosshairs of a conspiracy set to destroy her.
You think that because you have his name, you've cracked this case? You haven't scratched the surface.
Even if you dig, you won't live long enough to see it through. You have no idea where this goes.
Cybrosis, the debut podcast novel by PC Herring. Coming to you on 010110 from www.cybrosisnovel.com.
This is Technorama, the show that is sure to get your brain going faster than Warp 10.
We're not sure what direction or what coordinates we're setting, but we're going to get you there fast.
Hey, Chuck, I got an idea.
Yeah.
This is a marketing idea for us, actually. When I was thinking of making some glasses, like look like 3D glasses with the gel covers over your eyes. But
yes.
Etched into it is like 101, 101, 101. So everywhere you go, you'll see the 101. What?
Walk around like the Matrix?
No, it'd be like, remember that movie They Live we talked about, I think, not too long ago? You know, you put the glasses on and you see all the zombie-looking aliens.
Well, when Cybrosis is coming out on 010110, I thought, wow, this is kind of binary.
Yeah.
Which is appropriate because it is a, you know, cyber thriller novel.
Hmm.
He didn't say it in there, but I'm in that story. So,
you are?
Yeah.
Oh, what are you?
I'll tell you in a sec. We got it coming up in
the
news.
You're the red shirt guy that gets knocked off the first 5 minutes.
I want to introduce the team, since Technorama is a team effort.
Yes.
Looking at the chat room, apparently people are poking fun at my lack of bandwidth tonight. How is the Skype connection holding up on your end, Craig?
So far, so good.
All right. Knock on wood. And we're doing all right.
I better not do that.
In the chat room, we have Bandwidth Theft, Ben Vaughn, Claudio M, Captain Rootbeer, Deb Drup, Geek Cred. Those people have been loitering all week. I don't think they're actually awake right now. If you are, wave, say hi. We have Megabit Per Sim.
Wait a minute, wave, that's another application altogether.
Megabit Per Sim?
No, the wave. You mentioned the wave.
Oh, okay. Nightstar, Funklogger, and Throttled Tim.
Throttled. I think we throttled Tim pretty often there.
My hands around his throat.
Chuck, quit throttling Tim. Your throttling,
and then
his
they change their names right back. Looking at the birthday calendar.
You're throttling his airflow.
We have a lot of birthdays to do because we missed our show last week due to priorities.
Oh.
Craig and I had the book deadline to work on and opted to spend the time in a different avenue. So, going through the birthday calendar real quick, December 11th is actually the 5-year birthday of ChuckChat.com.
Yay!
Yay.
Oh,
and
five.
It doesn't say so here, but December 11th is the 4-year birthday of Gmail Podcast.
Yay! And there was much rejoicing. Yay!
So, try and figure this out. Technorama won't be 5 until May. So, what did ChuckChat.com do before there was Technorama? Only the senior members of the staff know.
Well, that was a beautiful website, let me tell you.
Decker D, who, if I recall, is one of my coworkers.
Oh, okay. He's
December 12th. We got a bunch on December 12th. Kevin Burns, a.k.a. Soulblaze from the chat room. Matt Blocker, a.k.a. The Giant, who we got to meet at Dragon Con. And Pamela Gay from Astronomy Cast.
Pamela.
It's on December 12th. Pamela. Ooh, Pamela.
Hey, baby.
Hey, careful. December 17th is our own Jorga Schrauen. He's also an Astronomy Cast listener. Actually, that's how I got hooked up with him originally. He was listening to Slacker Astronomy.
Oh, was he?
Yep. December 20th, Phil Burchill. All these people born very close to Christmas. James Ballard, a.k.a. Karak Sindru, is December 21st. December 22nd, Bo Pace. And Richard Green, a.k.a. Come on, Craig.
What?
What's Richard Green's handle?
His handle? Oh, the mainframe?
Very good. December 23rd. Happy birthday to all these lovely
people. I thought you were going
to
say it, and I'm sitting there waiting on you.
No, I'm waiting.
No.
All right, I got to be a little more explicit in my cues.
And to you.
Over to you, Craig.
Hey, you know, hey, get this. We were, this last weekend, we were hanging out on the USS Yorktown with the scouts. It was an overnighter.
Mm-hmm.
And we go up on the flight deck. This is the first time I've been on a flight deck like this. Huge aircraft carrier. Like, wow, this is awesome. You know, people were taking pictures of their kids beside the planes, you know, they're decommissioned, of course. They were standing beside the planes that are on the flight deck. And I was like, these people have no clue. I told somebody, I said, you need to get your kid, you know, kind of crouching down and pointing with two fingers like your go, you know, like they do on the flight deck, you know, when you're getting ready to take off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and next thing I know, I had like five or six parents doing, having their kids posing down in a crouched position, like with their one leg out, like they're.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. Yeah, it was awesome.
Good news, everyone.
We've got some news coming up tonight. As I mentioned, Cybrosis is coming out on 1010110. That's January 1st. We've got a link in the show notes. You can find it at cybrosisnovel.com. Also, I am part of that. I play a character called Tech Guy. And it was kind of interesting. This has been a long time in the making. We actually started recording things over a year ago, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's been, you know, 3-4 chapters recorded here. And he wanted to get all of the content done and like the first 5 or 6 chapters produced before I started releasing in case there were some production issues. You wouldn't be waiting and waiting and waiting, you know, while family crises or whatever cleared up. So he's made a good plan of it. I look forward to hearing it. Based on the promo, it sounds like it's going to be a good time.
Mm-hmm.
There is another promo. It's about 2.5 minutes long. I played the one that's just over a minute long. So we'll probably play that longer one where I have an actual line in it. There are some samples.
Wait, you're the tech guy. You're the guy that gets killed like in the first 5 minutes.
No. I don't die in this one.
Mm.
I usually die in books.
Sure.
You're right.
Oh, speaking
I usually
of dying,
get killed. I must have graduated from my red shirt.
Yeah. Hey, well, speaking of which, you know, audio dramas like this. You know, Friends in Tech, we've got our Christmas special coming up.
Oh, that's right.
Yep, and it's almost complete. I've listened to, what, 3 out of the 5 parts so far, and it is sounding fantastic. I wrote it with help with Douglas C. Welch and... It's actually turned out pretty good, and I'm getting excited about it.
That's awesome. And yeah. I just found out tonight that Darusha Waim has a new novel coming out called Self-Made.
Yes. Actually,
I think that's coming out.
I read the email, but I haven't gone further into it. So tell me about it.
It's coming out on the 12th or the 10th of January, so right after the first of the year. And we'll have a link in the show notes to that one also, but it's at darusha.ca.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And we mentioned advent calendars earlier. If you haven't,
yes.
If you're not a fan of Grant's advent calendar, just search for Grant's advent calendar on iTunes and watch day 3. If nothing else, just watch day 3 for the adventure game geeks. You're going to appreciate yes. that one.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty good. Actually, you know, I've been playing a very basic version of D&D with Harrison. You know, we started in the car. He's like, what is that? And I was like, it's like, oh, well, let's walk through it. And I said, make up a character's name. And I just kind of made up some prose, you know, and went along with a little story. So then, of course, I told him he had to do dice and all that. So we started playing it. And anyway, he saw that video and he started cracking up because he was looking for the charts and he was rolling the dice and he was getting it.
That's cool.
That was cool.
All right, let us look at the
Hacks and Strange Stories.
Man, we have a man who builds detailed model cars from discarded aluminum or aluminium cans.
Aluminium.
And this isn't just, you know, some cans smashed together and go, there's some wheels. And he's actually shaping the bodies and making sure that the logos from these aluminum cans ends up in the right place.
Yes, it looks great, especially the wheels. They look fantastic. It's like you use two bottoms of the cans and put them together, but the bodies are fantastic.
And like the Coca-Cola has Coca-Cola across the back. It's not just mm-hmm. haphazardly patterned. The Guinness truck has Guinness across the sides. I mean, these are really, really well done. I can't imagine how many hours it takes just to do one of these. Or how he shapes the metal the right way.
So, well, especially not only shapes it, but shapes it where it doesn't ruin the like you said, the logo and everything.
Yeah, he's got to be able to flatten this thing and rebend it in certain ways for fenders and whatnot, because it's not all based on the curvature of the aluminum cylinder.
The sun? I thought that's what you were going to say.
It's not based on the sun?
No, the curvature of the
curvature of the earth.
Earth. Oh, yeah, the earth. I like on the back of like the Guinness car, I'm looking at the number 2. He's got a little pull tab. It looks like a trailer hitch or something in the back. A little pull tab sticking out the bottom.
Now, regular Technorama listeners know that we like steampunk stuff.
Yes.
And I forgot who sent us this house, or who sent us this link to the man who steampunked his entire house. Did you find this one?
Yeah, I found this one.
This is from steampunkworkshop.com. It says, if you drop by my house, you'd probably be disappointed because with the exception of my office, which is more post-apocalyptic than anything else, it's simply not very steampunk. And then he says, Bruce and Melanie Rosenbaum started Mod Vic, which is Modern Victoria Home Restoration, in June 2007, and have now moved on to steampunk home design. Mod Vic's mission is to authentically restore historic Victorian homes, which are between 1850 and 1910, to their original beauty and richness while completely modernizing the home system, functional layout, and conveniences for the family today. They steampunk this thing. There's stained glass. There's Franklin stoves. There's, I don't know what this thing is. It's like a big water heater alongside the stove.
It's for the dog bowl.
Is that for the dog bowl?
Yeah, I read it. The stove itself. Oh, I mean,
but the stove has like one of those ceramic tops. It looks like an old cook stove with the cast iron stuff.
Here you go. Here is the cast iron base from the second antique water heater that has been fitted with a copper bowl for the aforementioned doggies refreshment. And the hot water tank has been modified with water filtration and purification system to fill the copper dish with pups.
Hey, wait a minute. There's a microwave in the corner.
Hey,
totally ruins the illusion.
Hey, even they didn't even steampunk the radio on top of it.
It's like a Bose wave radio.
Yeah, cheater. No.
Well, they must not be done.
I love the push button switches, light switches.
I grew up with those.
You know, I've been in a house with those before. Yeah, those are awesome.
I looked at them and went, yeah, so?
Uh-huh. So, and you know what? The other thing I do like about this house, this feature, is the mantle they have for the TV.
Yes.
It actually pulls away on one side so you can get behind it. And amazingly, they got a nest of wires back there, too. Another modern feature.
And I'm not sure about this next story, but at thingiverse.com, they have the MST, well, it should be MST3K shades, but somebody misspelled it and said MST3 shades. Maybe MST3K was a... trademark or something they couldn't infringe upon.
Yeah.
But apparently you're supposed to follow this pattern and cut out little silhouettes, and you wear these glasses that have the bots in one eye and empty chairs in the other. So everywhere you go, you can have the MST3K effect.
Yeah. Maybe we should do one with me and you in one eye, and you can just have the Technorama effect everywhere you go.
No, the Technorama effect is not a positive thing. That would be like glasses with one lens missing.
Actually, you can take it with you. It's called a podcast.
But it's not something you... The Technorama effect is akin to Murphy's Law.
Oh, yeah?
Only it specializes in the electronics and geeks and things.
Oh, okay.
So,
it grows exponentially each year?
Our problems will be doubled every 18 months.
Yeah. Well, so far that's proven to be true.
That's the Technorama law.
Yeah.
The Technorama effect is different than the Technorama law.
The law.
All right, where are we? I lost track. Oh, new bomb-resistant trucks will blast RPGs before they hit.
Yes. This is very impressive. Did you watch the video?
I did not watch the video.
Okay. Well, this is how it works. You got this Humvee going along. Well, somebody shoots an RPG straight at it.
They're throwing role-playing games at you?
Yeah. I'm throwing this fighter mage your way. No, they're throwing
Yeah, take this RPG. Fourth level carrion. Magic missile.
Anyway. So,
actually, that's kind of what they are, is magic missiles.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. So, you shoot these RPGs at the truck, and you can watch the video and see the truck's going along, the rocket comes broadside, and it just, you see this explosion, and out of the other end of the explosion, the truck keeps going. But what it is they've got this, device that kind of hangs over the top edge of the roof, and it disrupts the things. And the trucks will take a little damage, but not nearly as much damage as it would if it took a direct hit. And you can see the truck, the door, it was bent a little bit and had some dings. I mean, but...
Well, that happens just by going to Walmart.
Well, the guy... Yeah. Maybe that was what it was. But anyway, he was saying the damage that you see right here was after, what, 5 consecutive tests? You know, the people inside were clearly fine. Would have been clearly fine. There was glass and everything was still intact.
That's very amazing. Cool. Anything to keep our soldiers safer.
Yeah. They call this the Iron Curtain. It kind of hangs over the virtual edge of the thing. It's pretty cool.
It's similar to the technology. I forgot where I saw this. But there's what do they call them? The remotely detonated landmines and things.
Yes.
As you're driving along, they'll like use a remote control or a radio frequency to detonate the mine as the mm-hmm. vehicle goes by.
Yeah, it's very similar, but it's got to be a little more high tech than that because it's got to track a moving object and know where, you know, what to do. Oh, it's got to know where to go. You there, Chuck? Ooh, we got a... Hello, Chuck. Connection lost. Looks like Chuck is... Yeah, we spoke a little prematurely. Everything was going fine until Chuck fell off the internet. Hello? Hello, Charles. Chuck.
Hello?
Hello, Chuck. Can you hear me?
I don't hear you.
Well, this is going to be fun.
Everything was going well. Almost too well.
And we were on such a roll, too.
Let's see if he has any better luck calling me.
Let me see. I don't know. I'm just waiting on him. So, what's up, guys? So, what's up? You lost me for a minute? My internet's still hanging up or humming along.
Humming along. It's humming along.
Guess I'll let Chuck do something and I'll just kind of sit here and read my feeds. Lens rental winners. It's a cool little laptop. How do you guys read feeds? Or do you? Do you read feeds? I use Google Reader. Oh, call him. Hello?
Yes.
Hey, you're back. Wow. I was just running down my Google Reader and telling everybody what I saw while I waited.
Well, I tried calling you back a couple times and it was like immediately disconnected.
Well, you got connected and then, anyway, I heard, I can't hear you. And then.
Yeah, and then it disconnected itself. I think
okay. The
bandwidth gods are figuring us out.
Okay, so anyway, the RPG thing is pretty cool.
From where I was stammering.
Stammering?
This is similar to technology that I saw where you can disrupt the signals from remote controls, like the RF signals, so people can't do their remote control detonated mines. So as the vehicle's going by, it's like scattering every frequency you can think of.
Well, this thing's got to be pretty high-tech, though, because it's got to track this thing as it's moving along. I mean, then... And these things aren't trivial, you know, their speed.
Oh, no. Yeah. Heavens, no.
Yeah. So it's got to know when to send that to the signal or however it's doing it to detonate it. So pretty amazing
stuff. Very cool stuff. Anything to keep our soldiers safer is a good thing, in my opinion.
Unless yes, it is.
Billions and billions of dollars, then we should look.
And you know what? This military technology may once make its day to civilian, and they can use this in L.A. all over the...
I was just thinking the same thing. Is that what would be the civilian application for something like
that? I can't
this?
Shoot that guy in the car.
The bullets and someone keeps scrambling my FM transmitter out of my iPod.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't hear my Technorama.
All right, let's take a look at the Remember When.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers. Mostly.
And thanks to Mark in Memphis, he sends us a link to the Lockheed plant as it looked during World War II. Now, during World War II, this was one of our main aircraft producing places. And they had it sort of under that camouflage netting stuff. They put fake trees. It looked like a hillside. You couldn't tell there were hundreds of cars parked there, or it would have been a dead giveaway. If you're just flying over, it looks like you're flying over.
I like the before
country.
And after pictures. It's like, wow, where'd it go?
It really is well camouflaged.
Yeah. So that's amazing.
I'm trying to remember where the Lockheed plant was or is.
California.
How do you hide the runway?
Oh, wait. I know. It's in California. It's near San Diego or something like that because my father-in-law said he worked there at some point.
It says, during World War II, the Army Corps of Engineers needed to hide the Lockheed Burbank aircraft plant. So must be near Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Well, not San Diego. No, it's in LA. I guess it's near. He told me he worked there. I remember riding by this at one point, but I don't. I'm not from California. It's I don't know, but it's there.
Okay, then we'll stop.
Yeah, but it's there. That is cool though.
All right, you're gonna have to walk me through this next one because I think this is one of your late entries.
Nope.
The way we ate the great Scrapple correspondence of 1872.
I have no idea what Scrapple Flame Wars abate. What?
For more than a century and a half, the New York Times have been recording the pleasures and prejudices of the American palate. The Way We Ate is a weekly tasting menu of vintage food writing from the Times archives. In the winter of 1872, the letters page of the New York Times was briefly invaded by Scrapple. It all started with one reader's... word. To his favorite breakfast food, calling himself Epicure, he pronounced the dish a spam-like slab of cornmeal and pig parts, both delicious and inexpensive. If anyone was interested, he continued, he'd be delighted to share his good lady's recipe. 2 days later, at the urging of several readers, the recipe ran. Over the next 2 weeks, the Times published more than 24 letters on the subject of Scrapple, which, taken together, form a sort of steampunk prototype for online food discussion.
Steampunk?
It's all there. Sure, the pseudonyms, usernames, the off-topic ranting, the preoccupation with pork fat. In short, it's a modern-day food thread in slow motion.
Hmm. Well, I do know that Scrapple's pretty popular around here too. So a lot of people eat it. You've
had Scrapple?
No. I've had liver mush, which is akin to this, I think.
I'm not sure what I make of this.
And you know what? I love some liver mush.
Is liver mush like Braunschweiger?
I don't know. It may be.
It's like a liver pate. It's also sometimes called liverwurst.
It is sort of like that. It's not made out of liver or anything like that, but I don't know why they call it liver mush. Well, I can take a guess, but I don't want to because I like to eat it. But usually they'll slicely thin it. They'll thinly slice it and fry it. I like to keep it kind of soft in the center, but fried. It's good stuff.
All right, turning to Gizmodo, we find 100 years of failure. Here are 10 technologies we were promised but never got.
Wait, I believe there's been more than 100 years with a failure on this planet.
These are just the 10 favorite ones that were failures from the last 100 years.
Okay. All right,
Cities under domes. I'm not going to read every paragraph here, but you can imagine that we were promised to be living in dome cities, and that hasn't happened.
And that picture, it looks like a jellyfish invaded New York.
It did.
Yeah.
The food pill and the algae sandwich. Lots of protein in there. The flying car. And instead of the Jetsons, they've got more of this kind of James Bond meets Mr. Bean thing going on.
It looks like a car ran into a plane, or a plane hit a car.
And there goes Skype again.
And I lost Chuck again. Woohoo!
Hello, Chuck.
Yes.
Wow, this is going to be fun.
Well, I give it one more, then I quit.
All right.
I'm not going to be doing this all night.
Hey, by the way,
one more dropout and I'm done.
By the way, the city's under the domes. Polly Shore was unavailable for comment.
The flying car, only instead of something that looks like the Jetsons, it looks like it was a cross between James Bond from the 60s and Mr. Bean's car.
It looks like the plane flipped over and landed on a car and picked it up by accident.
The knowledge pill. Do you remember anything you're hearing about a knowledge pill?
No, I could use
scientists at the University of Michigan in the early 1960s trained worms to avoid an electric shock, then noticed that other untrained worms suddenly possessed this skill, too, after eating their learned cousins. Oh, well, cannibalism has to be in here somewhere, too.
Okay, I'm for that.
Isn't that kind of what some of the old tribes used to believe, that if you ate the heart of a warrior, you inherited their courage and whatnot?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is kind of like that.
That makes total sense.
If it worked for them. Nuclear bombs for demolition and excavation. Yeah, I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take down a building with a nuclear bomb.
Too late.
Man-made oceans. And man-made oceans. More like something out of Thunderbirds. Underseas colonies. So these look like those things you'd see at the...
No, or was it the AKA Sea Monkeys?
Right. Looks like you'd see at the 1960 World's Fair or something.
Yeah.
Visit the home of tomorrow.
Yeah.
And remember that video we talked about?
Remember that video that we saw?
You forgot the self-driving car. We're just starting to get those.
Hey, wait a minute. You remember the World of Tomorrow? Remember we watched that video and the wife can can shop on this big screen and send the bill to the...
Just send in your punch cards.
And the bill will go to the right party, and the guy's like shaking his head.
The next one is the video phone, which is very interesting how they get these two guys talking to each other. They look like they're
looking eye to eye, but he's off to the side.
Right. Right. The camera would have to be aimed at this guy's ear just so they have the right perspective for this picture. Well, that's kind of what we're trying right now with Skype and video.
The ear compensator.
The safe cigarette. We were promised a safe cigarette.
Sure.
When the U.S. Surgeon General officially declared in the early 1960s that cigarettes cause cancer... I don't think that's what he's declared. He said cigarette smoking may cause cancer.
Well, you know what? The cigarette companies were promising all kinds of stuff to get us to smoke.
Tobacco companies responded by trying to come up with a truly safe smoke. Company scientists tried a variety of methods, including attempting to identify and filter out the harmful chemicals and even experimenting with smokable lettuce.
Wow.
But the effort proved a bust and was finally abandoned following the successful cigarette company lawsuits of the early 1990s. Wow. Smokable lettuce. What kind of lettuce are you smoking?
Some Thousand Island, please.
You know, you may laugh, but you know, somebody had to figure this out with tobacco. I mean, they probably saw this tobacco big leaf, and who knows what it was used for before they smoked it.
Well, yeah, somebody smoked it.
It was probably somebody's soup.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the media corner where we've got some good stuff.
Good stuff.
But first, a break. Oh, this is the part where we're supposed to say, let's move on to the media corner where we got lots of good stuff.
Yeah. Something like that.
Nothing's working right tonight. Yeah, but first, a quick break.
Just throw it in the wind.
What is that?
It's localized.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, ooh, yi, yi.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, things are all rancid.
Was it past the expiration date?
Would you like shipping instructions with that?
Lickety splickety snappity working just
hey,
fine.
Chuck. I've been eating some salad dressing that I really like here at the house. I realized that it expired in July.
It's all done.
It's still good. I mean, it tastes fine.
This is Dr.
I just looked at the label and went, oh.
Professor of theoretical physics, author of the new book, Physics of the Impossible. Yet, I can't even figure out Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
We're going to have to send Dr. Kaku Technorama for Dummies.
Technorama for Dummies? There's a book deal for you.
Yeah, huge audience for that.
Yeah. Well, we got one at least, Dr. Kaku.
Looking at the media corner, we've got the Star Wars Celebration 5. The dates have been set for August 12th through 15th, 2010, at the Orange County Convention Center. I believe Steve Holden, our fellow friend in tech, sent us this.
Yeah, I wonder if he's going.
I want to meet Padme.
Yeah, baby. I'm still holding out for Leia in the bikini.
The 70s version. Not at the age that she's at.
The 70s version. Oh. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Hey, I can still fit into this thing. What are you talking about?
You know what? She probably sounds just like you. No, I'm just kidding.
Also out in California, we are fans of the
California
products of the Stone Brewing Company. What?
That was in Orlando, Florida.
Well, that one was. Oh, okay. Yes. Sorry.
Yeah.
But we are fans of the Stone Brewing Company and their products. And you are invited to have a beer with the Mystery Science Theater 3000 folks. Wednesday, sweet. December 16th. Oh, we might just make it. Craig, you're going to have to get this one out. You're going to have to get this one out real fast.
Yeah. Maybe that's why. Actually, it was Marv that changed the date on the wave. Maybe.
One of the advantages of listening live, you'll hear this announcement before.
Yeah, so get out happens. There.
Come to the California Center for the Arts. Just down the road from Stone and enjoy what promises to be the most entertaining set of Christmas films ever, because the guys from Riff Tracks will be making fun of them on stage, and it gets better.
And it said, oh, go ahead. I know where this is going.
Weird Al Yankovic will be there to amplify the wackiness. Michael J. Nelson, Kevin Murphy, a.k.a. Tom Servo, Bill Corbett, who does Crow-T Robot. You know, his name almost sounds like that. Bill Corbett, Crow-T Robot. They could almost be anagrams. They will lampoon ridiculous classics like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and a not-so-classic musical presentation about pork. And Scrapple.
Scrapple. And liver mush. And grits.
Don't fret if you don't live nearby. The entire performance will also be broadcast simultaneously to over 480 theaters nationwide. Get your tickets now so that you don't miss out all the fun.
I say, I was hoping they'd say broadcast live on the internet.
Well, that would be even cooler, wouldn't it?
I'd pay $5 to watch this on the internet. Would you?
You bet.
Yeah. I mean, come on. $5.
Except December 16th, I'm not going to be around. So,
I was going to say, although it's probably $5 to go sit in the theater, but I don't know.
We met Trace Below, but didn't know it.
What?
When we were practicing our lines with Clinton At Dragon Con?
Yes. Oh,
we,
yes.
Remember we were sitting in that little lounge off to the side, and he came by, and he was talking, and we're just going, hey, yeah. And then after he walked away, I said, who was that? He goes, that's Trace Below from... And he goes, oh, I forgot to introduce you guys. We could have got, you know, Dr. Frank from MST3K to do us a soundbite or something.
So, oh, well, thanks, Chuck.
Next time. Thanks, yeah. Chuck. What did I do?
Nothing. That's the point.
Somehow this is my fault.
That was the problem. You didn't do anything. Oh, look, I can go see it in Charlotte, actually. But I don't know if I'll be able to care.
All right, Mint Pass Cube remembers that analog rocks. This is from Gizmodo. Before the rise of Napster and Audiotune, we had drugs and rock and roll. Remember how great those were?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mint Pass has come out with MP3 player that's 2 inches by 2 inches by 2 inches, a little box, and has real buttons that you can push, kind of like the old cassette players. They stay down until you push another button, then they pop up, and it's got a VU meter and a battery meter. It's got different meters, real analog things with needles that move around.
Megahertz meter on the side. This is awesome. And, you know, I put this in here because I thought it was a great little design.
What are they charging for this?
I don't know, but as long as it's reasonable, I would consider this big time.
Maybe put that on my Amazon Christmas list. You know, 2 inches by 2 inches, that would almost fit in your stocking.
Although it's probably like $280.
You know, you got to make things reasonably priced.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this is great. Oh, okay. Oh, well.
All right, you're going to have to help me with this one because due to my bandwidth, I can't even see this page. But apparently, man beats World of Warcraft?
Yes, a man. It's like, man finds the end of the internet.
Turns around and goes home.
Yeah, actually, I'm trying to pull up the page too, and it didn't come up. But anyway, this gentleman in somewhere, he actually finished. This is overseas. It's like in China or Japan or something. He finished the game, and some people were calling shenanigans because he didn't quite do everything, but he did enough, and he finished it up. And sure enough, you know, he finished World of Warcraft. I don't know. I didn't know he could. I thought it was like a ongoing MMO or something like that.
People just keep making up new parts and uploading them to your system.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not done yet.
No, that would be Blizzard because they keep making expansion packs. But anyway, I don't know. He did it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, pretty cool if you think MMOs are cool.
Yeah. And I can think of a lot of other things that I could do with my time. I mean, are you going to put that on a resume?
Yeah. I finished World of Warcraft.
I suppose if you're a game designer, maybe.
That could be something there.
That would impress somebody somewhere.
I'm gonna go check his LinkedIn profile and see.
All right, you look at the LinkedIn. I thought you were gonna say Facebook or something. I go, yeah, I can see that on Facebook, LinkedIn.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to bring up the Boston.com. They have a feature called the Big Picture, and they always put these fantastic pictures up for different subjects, and we've talked about them, I think, a few times over the past. Well, this time they have the Hubble Telescope Advent Calendar, and each day they publish a new photo from the Hubble Telescope, and there are some beautiful, beautiful pictures here.
Awesome.
Starting with the first one, and it looks like a sky, kind of, you know, blue sky peeking in through some clouds. But it's a planetary nebula NGC 2818, which isn't as sexy as the picture itself. Then there's a picture of Saturn
with four of its moons, and some of them casting shadows on the planet.
That is pretty cool. The one that caught my eye, actually two of them here, was the the Boomerang Nebula. There are the rainbow colors coming off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Very beautiful. It was like a bow tie with a, you know, multicolor rainbow. And the one right below it was the, is that the Carina?
Mm-hmm.
Carina Nebula? Yeah.
These are all blue, it is, all right? Gorgeous. And some of them are still coming soon, so you got to go to this website every day and see what's new.
Yeah. Yes. There's a whole other galaxy right there, the Sombrero Galaxy.
Easy there, pal.
Anyway, it's pretty cool. Yes, please go check that out. And you can wait on, was it day 15 is the next one, I think?
Yep. Finally, so. Over in our final media corner item is from theobsoletebook.com.
Actually, I put this up here. This is one of the last minute entries I put in. Because this video is Leonard Maltin is talking about the advantages of laser discs.
Here's something new and exciting for all of us to consider. Laser discs. The 1985 Entertainment Tonight video has all the breathless descriptions, the frame-by-frame rewind feature, a remote the size of a butter dish, and a TV that looks like it died in 1965. That's actually an AMDEC monitor.
Yeah.
We used to use those on our Apples.
Yeah, that was a popular one on the Apples. And you know, what's funny is... you watch this and they're talking about, oh, and we can do director commentary. You know, this will take studying movies in a whole new direction, you know, where the director is actually telling you what he did. And they showed the old King Kong, the original one. Guy's like, yes, and if you look closely in this frame, I'm like, oh, God. But he's talking about how they did the effects and everything. And he's like, you know, Leonard Maltin's getting all giddy about it.
You know who's still got a Laserdisc player?
Let me guess. You do.
No.
Who?
Summer Brooks.
Oh, does she? Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did I guess?
Okay. We're running a little long, so do you want to do your What the Craig?
Oh, yeah, I'll give that real quick.
Okay. Don't make me angry. Okay, that's all you get. Go ahead. Quick.
Well, I wanted to tell everybody that, you know, I did recycle my computers. I grabbed all the ones except for two that I got to still go through. Removed all the hard drives like a good boy. Took them out to the recycling center and I thought it was going to be some kind of big production. Like, oh, just stick them outside. I'll give you a pallet. That's pretty much it. But I recycled. It kind of crept up on me. I had like 8 computers I ended up taking. I didn't realize I had that many in the mechanical room over
here.
Isn't
that amazing how fast they pile up?
I know. And, you know, they're not worth crap. That's why I mean I'm not doing anything with them, and I figure I'd go ahead and recycle them, so I'm not building some super computer out of them anytime soon.
Or a couch.
Yeah,
furniture.
Wait a minute, I could have made a chair,
a kid's jungle gym,
a futon. Well, anyway,
a kitchen counter.
I got about 4 or 5 hard drives here on the floor. A couple of the machines didn't have anything. So I bet the pallet's still sitting outside.
And finally, in the Geek Library, if you are a superhero and don't know where to get some of your stuff, there is a place.
That's exactly my problem.
Yes. Dude, I didn't tell you about some of the bizarre dreams I had this last week.
Because of this?
Well, the superhero thing kind of reminded me of it. It wasn't because of this. Well, at least I don't think it was.
All right, tell us after the story here.
Saturday morning, somewhere between 3 and 5 a.m., because I know I got up, and then I had this dream, and then I remembered when I got up for real.
When you get up for real?
There was somebody who could fly, and I was envious, but it wasn't flying like Superman flies, and it wasn't flying like Nathan Petrelli flies.
Like a winged kind of fly?
No. He flew kind of like Superman. He flew sort of like Superman, you know, kind of horizontal, but it was only about 6 feet off the ground, had to follow the contour of the land, didn't go very fast, and he was flying feet first.
Wow. Okay. I can see his weakness.
And I was envious.
You know, this great flying backwards, but your cape gets all in your hair.
Well, you can't see where you're going anyway. You got to fly with those bicycle glasses with the mirrors on the sides.
Yeah. Flying's great, but it's kind of tricky.
So
no, the flying's great. It's the landing that'll get you.
If you're looking for things like a freeze ray or a spiffy new cape or those glasses with the bicycle mirrors on.
Yeah. Or a cape that attaches to your belt so you don't get blinded.
Superheroes that didn't quite make it. from the second store. You can find them at the Brooklyn Superhero Store, and they've got things like Truth Serum and what are those plaques on the wall? I didn't quite understand those.
Let's see. Inside the store, butlers and wards are officially on their own time. I say all superheroes must register with their powers here. On-site particle practice range. Oh, cool. Here you go. Let me read this last one. Villains who have a change of heart will be welcomed and will not be referred to as on a short leash.
Villains who haven't been prosecuted soon will be.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'd like to go to this store and check it out.
That would be fun. That's almost like the Computer History Museum, but in a different vein. How does this store stay in place in business?
I guess you got some superheroes coming through there, you know?
Must
be. The spray cans.
Very elite and expensive market.
Yeah. They're a niche store.
But the stuff is like for sale. They have prices on it. $7.99 for a can of this and $11.99. I mean.
Yeah, there you go. I like the, like you said, you had the bottle of truth serum and there's like mind control, another bottle for intuition, justice. I'm going to open a can of justice on you.
don't spray me with legalese.
And there's, of course, is the antidote over in the corner.
The antidote to legal, to justice. Yeah.
To whatever, I guess. I
it's
know.
Called injustice. Corruption. I'm going to spray you back with a can of corruption. It burns! It burns!
You know what? I think I've heard some politicians say that.
I'm justice intolerant.
I'm just...
All right.
On
that note...
I need some lactose-free justice, please. All right.
On that note, that brings us to the end of the show. We appreciate you giving us your time. Boy, if this was your first show, let us know what you think.
I think I'm going to put some of the good stuff at the end. I'm going to put it at the beginning of the show just to get them hooked.
Call the listener line, 206-222-2428. Now you got to build up. Let them listen to the end and then hear us go silly and hurt our sides laughing.
Yeah.
206-222-CHAT if you want to spell that on a phone. Or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com if you've got a way to record an audio clip. Or just send us an email. Send it in. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter, C. Tomasi, Step K, Technorama, or we'll follow you if you put #Tech101 in your blurb. Tweet blurb. Tweet blurb. What? Sounds like the bird wasn't doing so well. Tweet hey, blurb.
It's like some... rare species on an island. We caught the blurb.
This is the hornbill blurb. This is the needle nose blurb.
Darwin actually found him.
Find out all the other stuff, webcam swag, all that stuff on the website, chuckchat.com. There's the Technorama Gmail podcast, Radio Yesterday Freestyle, and What the Heck is a Podcast Anyway? You find it all there. Answers to life's mysteries. I want to thank Mad Marv for providing all the great blog content during the week. If you're not going there, you're missing out. Like, what was the one that I saw this week that made me crack up? Not the Stormtroopers and the Turkey. There was another one. Yeah, go to the website. You got to see this. He's throwing crazy stuff out there all the time. It's a lot of fun. Ustream provides our modest live stream during the show when we record this on Sunday nights. If you happen to be around on Sundays, we'd love to hear from you. Join us in the chat room. It's provided by freenode.net. You don't need any software installed, but it's a whole lot more fun if you do. Wait, that didn't sound right. It's like soliciting children to join the chat room.
Yeah. What? Wow. Oh, look, it's time to wrap it up.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with farpointmedia.com and a whole bunch of great podcasts over there. There's been a lot of great website changes. It looks more like a commercial. A lot of good stuff. You can kind of browse around, find your way. Check them out. We're there. We know you will be too. Somehow, I'm not very good at slogans tonight.
Nope.
My advertising campaign is off.
Yeah. Need some truth serum. for that.
And since Skype is failing us, we're going to give it up here. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And as always, let's see if we can hold this together for 5 more seconds. Give me a binary high five, Craig.
I got the bubblegum in place. 101.
We did it. Hooray.
Yay.
Contact light. Okay, engine stop. Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.